We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke 15, verse 11 through verse 13. I'm going to have Brother Terry Matheny to read that portion of Scripture this morning. Luke 15, verse 11 through 13.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living.
I love the outcome of the story. The outcome is that regardless of what the son did or how he did it, the father was always there in the road every day looking for his son to return. If I was thinking of some scripture I couldn't find, I don't think one that I was thinking about any more important than Luke 15. Because it encompasses all of our lives, every one of us. And also yet sons and daughters that are yet to be born into the kingdom of God. This is why I've been praying lately when I'm praying, opening the prayer, not only thanking God for his mercy, but God, you're my creator and you're my redeemer. Amen. There's people that's been created in the image of God that do not know that the Father is waiting on them to come back home to him. Amen? I do not want to become one like the brother of the family who was a little bit grumpy. When we see people added to the kingdom of God because God so loved the world, John 3:16 is an awesome scripture. But I do not want to be sort of like that brother of the prodigal son who was a little bit grumpy because it seemed like a little bit of attention was been given to the son that wasted everything and wasted his life, and finally he returns and comes back home. The church has got an awesome, beautiful position to be in, is to help the Father celebrate the return of humanity back to its creator. What a thing you look forward to as a church, as a congregation, is to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Those come back to God for the first time, or maybe it might be the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time. Who's counting? You go away on vacation, you can't wait to get home. Why? You want to sleep in your own bed, right? There's nothing like your own lumpy bed. You complain about your bed. I complain about my bed. It's too soft. I lay down in it, it's like a swayback horse, whatever. I complain about that bed. But if I'm gone away for a few days, come back, I want my bed back. Amen? I want that bed. Because I sleep the best in that bed. Humanity, you know what I'm talking about, sleeps the best when you're back home in your house where you belong. No matter where you come from, no matter what you experience in your life, the pain or the suffering, when you realize that God loved you, if only humanity can grasp that aspect. When Brother Merchant sharing in the office before service about Acts chapter 10 and the house, Simon's house, where Peter was staying and resting, and God was getting ready to change the dynamics of humanity. It wasn't going to be just for the Jews only, but it was going to be for whosoever will. They could come and drink of this water of life freely, but it was the convincing of Peter to be the mouth and the spokesman for this new rapid change that God was heading in this direction. Why would God do that? Well, God established a people that would follow him and love him. In fact, it tells us in the Bible that under the law, it was a schoolmaster. It was there to teach and education, but now it was time to graduate. I tell you what, if you go to school very long, it's always a happy day when you graduate. When you put on the cap and the gown and you're there. Here is the angels. They're there. They're looking at this graduation moment. They're just excited about what's going to take place, what God was going to do. Hey, do you know what God's doing? No, but I know it's getting ready to do something big. It's going to be wonderful. Peter didn't understand the letting down of that sheet. All kinds of beasts, all kinds of things that they were not permitted to touch or eat. But the most powerful word in the whole thing of Acts chapter 10 is when God told Peter, "Don't you call unclean what I call clean." Amen. Wow.
Yes.
Do you grasp that? I don't care what your background, I don't care what you've done in your life. God loved you so much to wipe the slate totally clean. And I can't call it unclean. Because if God cleaned the slate, if God cleaned you, he did a good thing because he loved you individually. And if you've never had your slate cleaned and wiped, I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to come home. You need to come home to the Father's house where you belong, to your Creator, to your Savior, to the one who loves you, because this word love, the Father's love, it's an unconditional love. I'm going to tell someone this morning. It's unconditional. There's no condition to it. Father's Day, we're celebrating this day, but we're celebrating our Heavenly Father as well. We do the natural, and most of all, we celebrate God's birthday. His birthday is his love for us this morning. When you're talking about Father's Day, earthling, small boy's definition of Father's Day, when asked, what does it mean to you? And this little boy said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. That's a pretty good definition. Fathers sometimes get on the short end of things on that, you know. Mama deserves it, don't get me wrong, but it's just the idea is that you don't have to spend as much on Dad. Amen. It's back in 1988. In fact, it was in December the 7th. I like this story. I've told it a few times, but will you indulge me this morning to share it with you again? Because I think it shows the depth of what God will do. Because this unconditional love is so powerful. He'll dig through the rubble of your life to get to you. You may be going through the trials of your life or the difficult things of your very existence, but I want to tell you this morning, God wants to tell you, hold on till it gets to you. You keep on breathing. You keep on holding on to hope that God will make a way where there seemeth to be no. When it seems like there's no way out, you just keep holding on. The story I'm about to tell you is a devastating story because there was this devastating earthquake that took place in Armenia. It killed, according to the records, estimated 25,000 people it killed in this earthquake. In one small town directly after the earthquake, a father rushed to his son's school only to find that the school had been flattened, and there was absolutely no sign of life. You may feel like you have no life left in you, but let me tell you, if you're breathing, there's life in you. If you can get up, if you can just press a little bit further, I'm telling you, God will find you and he'll rescue you. But this dad, he had no thought of turning back. Because he often told his son, no matter what, I'll always be there for you when you need me. You may not think he's there, but he's there. That's why we like that poem of Footprints in the Sand. We think that we're doing the problem, we're doing the carrying, but it's God carrying us. This is why Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith is so awesome, because it is the evidence. Once in a while you see a glimpse, a little flicker of little hope or God or something. Or something is moving some things around. And faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Haven't totally seen it yet, but I'm telling you, he's on his way to dig through the rubble of your life to rescue you, to grab you by your very heart and bring you home to him. Yeah. Though the possibility of anyone surviving this devastating earthquake, it appeared hopeless. This father began fervently removing rubble from where his beloved son's classroom had been. Other saddened parents only cried out hopelessly, "My son, my daughter." Some told the father to go home. There was no chance of anybody living. Nobody could survive this. I want to tell you this morning, on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, no matter what you go through, yes, you can survive it. Don't let anybody try to tell you that you can't make it to heaven. Don't let anybody try to tell you that your sins cannot be remitted and washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Would anybody ever try to discourage you? I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much, he will dig through the rubble and the sin and the awfulness of this world and rescue you if you hold on, if you hold on to faith. Courageously, this father proceeded. He proceeded all alone. No one volunteered to help him. He simply had to know for himself, is my boy alive or is he dead? What makes the story of salvation so awesome and so powerful is that God, on his own, robed himself in flesh. God on his own went to the cross of Calvary. God on his own came out of that tomb to give us life and victory over death, hell, and the grave. No one would die for you like Jesus would die for you. No one could ever rescue like Jesus could rescue you. No one could ever love you like Jesus can love you. With strength and endurance beyond himself, the faithful, loving father continued to dig for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, 3 days. He spent lifting and stacking stones. In the 38th hour, as he heaved away at heavy pieces of rubble, he heard a voice, a tiny voice under the rubble, under his feet. "Our man!" He screamed out, "Our man!" Child's voice responded, "Dad, it's me." Can you imagine the prodigal son sitting on the fence deciding which way to go with his life? Maybe he cried out his name to his father, but he knew his father was a long distance away and didn't know if his father could hear. "Dad, it's me. I've decided to come home." Someone this morning needs to decide to come home. It's Jim, it's Mary, it's Jake. I feel your presence. I feel your effort of reaching for me. And I'm coming home. Little boy said, "I told the other kids not to worry. I told them if you were alive, you would save me. And when you save me, they would be saved as well." I've seen people through the life of my ministry. I've seen people who were not exactly where they needed to be with God, yet encourage other people that God could help them. Come on. Listen, if I know if God can help me in my condition, I'm sure He'll help you in your condition. If God could save you, He'll save your neighbor, He'll save your friend, He'll save your family. I told the others, if my dad could reach me, if my dad could get a hold of us, if my dad's alive, he'll do everything he can to be able to rescue me. And if he rescues me, he'll rescue you. And that's the hope. Listen, you need to tell your neighbor, hey, God did this for me. And I know God will do that for you and your family. I know it's a terrible situation. I don't know if you think you can get out of it or not, if you can move the rubble that's been crashing upon your life. But I'm going to tell you that my dad, if he's alive, and I know he's alive, everybody knows that God's alive. He's alive. And if he rescued me, he'll rescue you as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me tell you. There's nothing that you go through in your life that can ever separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. I don't know if you know George Strait or not, but he is a singer. He's written a few songs along the way. But George Strait wrote a song entitled Father's Love Without End, Amen. Let me share with you the words of this song. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules, and it didn't matter why. And when Dad got home, I told the story just like I rehearsed, and then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen. When I become a father in the spring of 88, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates when suddenly I realized there had just been some mistake. If they knew half the things that I've done, they never had let me in. And then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. It's a love without end. Amen. I first read the words of the song. I remember wondering if it were possible that our Heavenly Father truly loved us that way. You might be sitting here this morning, don't know what you've gone through. You might be thinking, I've never experienced this kind of love from my natural father. My dad wasn't a hugger. My mother wasn't a hugger. But I knew he loved me. When he tried to run a race with me in a five-buckle overshoe, or when he took me to the pond, said, "Get in, son," and rolled me around that pond as he taught me how to fly a fish for those bluegill. No, he never hugged me. My mother was never a hugger. She never wrote love on a card until I was long way married and had children of my own. Don't mistake that you don't feel love from God. Don't be mistaken if you don't feel like he's standing there hugging you every day. For it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. Because he's willing to go with you and help you through everything and teach you things that you never knew. That's why some of the experiences that we go through in life are just teaching lessons. And he's in the boat with you. And he's rowing boat through the waters of life, allowing you to experience the things that you never knew. Yeah. Your Father loves you. Maybe you need to tell him, if you're here this morning, maybe you need to call out your name and say, "I'm coming home." Would you lift your hands right now throughout this congregation? No matter what I might accomplish in my lifetime, it will never compare to the achievements of being a dad. It's the highest honor. Come on. Let's love him a little bit here, church. Come on. Among my greatest regrets in life for me are that I did not have the time to throw the ball more and ride the motorcycle more with my boys. Don't let life take you away. Remember this, dads. I'm talking to dads this morning. Remember this. God first, family second. And everything else falls in behind of that. Come on, some of you men, help me. Say this with me. God first, family second. And everything else falls in behind that. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. Let me close with this scripture, Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We understand from this scripture that there is a vast difference in the nature of man's love for his children compared to the loving nature of our Heavenly Father. He loves you. And if you're not home, you need to come home. Because you never find anybody that's going to love you more than the one that created you in his own image, in his own likeness. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? I know we've got some gifts to pass out and some things. Amen. Maybe you don't have children, but you can be the best uncle. Come on. Whatever you can do, find some leadership that you're able to lead. Amen? Lead. And what you lead in is helping people, helping them to know that there is a God that loves them more than anything else in this whole wide world. Amen.